At Market District, we believe in the power of great taste. So here's a little taste of all the delicious possibilities. Juicy, hand-picked heirloom tomatoes. Seared certified Angus steak over aged cheddar mashed potatoes. Or how about fresh dough, stretched by hand for every house-made pizza? Is your mouth watering yet? From produce to meats to chef-made meals, discover great taste at Market District.
This is a Crowd podcast.
This is Influenced, the podcast that will get inside your mind, or at least make you think that it has. We've got guests, but a lot of podcasts have guests. My guests think they're here to plug something, but little do they know, from the moment they walk in, I'm playing games with their minds.
How did you do that?
I'm in control.
How?
What?
Get out of my head!
See, I love mind games. I'm a mentalist. What my guests don't know is that they're being influenced the entire time. I mean, even if it is in the podcast title.
You ready?
Oh my God.
Watch. I'm just messing with you.
Oh
no,
my
I can't.
God.
I can't. Can you imagine?
Are you going to explain or?
Oh my God. How?
Feel weirded out?
Very.
We're just getting started, trust me.
You're literally a wizard. This is great. I feel like I'm chatting to Dumbledore.
Because you don't really know what's about to happen.
I have no idea.
Is that his name?
Yeah.
What?
I'm Joel M, and today I'm joined by Francis Bourgeois. You may know Francis from his viral videos about train spotting. I'm probably going to go for an obvious trick here, but I want him to tell me about one specific train. And that train is the 37425 Concrete Bob. Anyway, for now, guard your minds and welcome to Influenced.
Francis, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Do you feel welcome?
I do.
Oh, good.
I
That's
do
important. That's good. This is Influenced, and right off the bat, I want to play a game with you, Francis, to get to know the real you.
Sure.
Partially. I want you to fib to me a little bit as well, so I'm going to get to know the fake you as well.
Sure.
I will explain. We'll play a game of two truths and a lie, Francis. For the listeners, if you haven't heard it before, the rules are simple. Francis, you're going to tell me three things about yourself, three bits of business. I want two of them to be true, one of them to be complete nonsense.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to give you a second now to get these locked into your head. This game establishes a bit of risk at the start. If I mess this up, it's downhill from there for the rest of the podcast. Just want to put that out there. Okay, Francis, in any order you like, give me the bits of business.
Okay, so I once made a song about the local carboniferous limestone quarry called Whatley Quarry, and the workers in the quarry then played it in their staff room.
That's a fantastic one. I hope that's true. Okay. I'll ask you questions at the end, so I'll get you to give me all three. Then I'm going to interrogate you.
Okay.
Sorry. You won't be smiling at the end.
Okay.
Okay. That's number one, is that you wrote a song, basically, about a quarry.
About a quarry,
that was played in a staff room. Fabulous. Okay, next.
I went on holiday to Corfu, and I had a suspected appendicitis, but it actually turned out to be trapped wind.
Oh my God. Well, I hope that's not true for your own. Well, maybe that was actually turned out quite well for you in that case, didn't it? That was better? Okay. That's an interesting one. Finally, number three. What are we going for?
I once scooted over Dartford Crossing.
You scooted over Dartford Crossing. Okay, so don't react, because I'm just going to make a couple guesses before I ask the questions. I'll say off the bat, the last one was the shortest, which makes me think it might be the fib, just to get out of the way fast. But I'm going to ask you a few more questions. So in terms of the quarry, right? Why were you so invested in the quarry at the time and felt the need to write a song?
Because it's the quarry nearest to where I lived in Somerset.
And you just fancied a little trip to the quarry? You just thought, yeah, that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
When was this?
It was during lockdown.
Oh, well, that makes sense, because we would all be very bored. Okay. I think the quarry thing's true, and I want to know if you still have the song recorded.
Yeah, it's on my phone.
So it is true?
Yeah.
Yes, okay, that's one. I'm just not too sure about the other two, so I'll ask you a bit more about that in a second. But we have the quarry. The scooting is the one that I'm not sure about, so I'm going to ask you more about that first. And the little look on your face is telling me I might be right. Do you know what? I'm just going to make it. I think that's complete nonsense. You didn't scoot across Dartmouth, did you?
Oh, that's nonsense.
It's nonsense. Even partially true?
Well, it's something that I've wanted to do, but is unfortunately not possible due to laws.
Well, yeah. Look at that. We managed to get it right on this episode. I will say, I think you were possibly trying to throw me off a little bit because you did arrive in on a scooter today. And I think you thought that might have maybe convinced me that it was true.
Well, I was thinking about these en route and I came to my sort of truths quite quickly. But I thought, I was trying to think of something that would be sort of slightly believable. But I feel like I definitely faltered in the delivery of the of the fib, which, as you said, I didn't take much time with it and tried to get it out the way.
Do you know what? You don't give yourself enough credit. I think you're just overly friendly. I think that's, you were helping me out almost on accident. So tell me about the second one. That's true as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Basically went to Corfu. Mm. It was like an all-inclusive holiday. Mm. And they had basically had these fizzy drink dispensers. And for the first breakfast we had, I went to and filled my cup with one of everything. And I basically necked it. And then afterwards, I was very uncomfortable and had sort of stomach complaints for most of the day. And
you were just fortified in there, just then, stuck.
And then as a 10-year-old at the time, my mum was like, "Are you okay?" And then got it checked out, got an X-ray and saw that there was quite a sizable bubble of fizzy gas.
Oh, God. The pain of that must have been absolutely horrendous.
It was.
That's not a nice memory.
No.
It's a horrid memory.
Yeah, I don't know why I did that as the truth, but I thought about that whilst I was scooting for some reason.
Oh, so it all links up together, see?
Yeah.
Because you did scoot in today, you said you got off Waterloo?
Yeah, so I got the Northern Line to Waterloo and then scooted from Waterloo to here because I was going to take the Jubilee Line for one stop along, but I thought actually in the changeover time and walking out the station on the other side, I can probably scoot there quicker.
And you probably did?
Hmm.
Mm. You're saying it's the most effective mode of transport across London?
Yeah, as it's not electric, I can take it on the London Underground. It's foldable, it's practical.
Yeah.
And if you're blasting down the street through traffic, you know, it looks awesome.
Yeah, you feel like a king.
And also, it takes me back to my childhood, because I used to scoot all the time. And used to love the sound of the wheels and going over different pavement textures and jumping over like the bumps in the pavement. And I was enjoying it once a little too much going down sort of the Oxford Circus area. Because of the heavy traffic, there's kind of like a oily film on the pavements when it's wet.
Yes.
And I decided to jump on. I was listening to music, I'm really getting into my groove and speeding down the street. And then I hopped onto the pavement and then the scooter slid out from under me.
Oh, God.
And I decked it in front of a crowd of people. But
Francis.
In the moment when I was listening to my music, I thought, what the hell am I doing? Got back on my scooter and carried on.
Come on,
and then
a champion.
I just laughed it off, but I grazed my knee slightly.
Oh, well, I mean, listen, but you have a war wounds now. It's all right. Yeah, scooters are great. When you're whizzing along the concrete, you feel unstoppable.
Hello, friends. In this case, this two truths and a lie was very easy because the lie was frighteningly short compared to the others. He didn't want to spend too much time on it and he had a massive smirk on his face as he told me the fib. So this one was pretty easy, but let's see how we get on with the rest of the episode.
Do you drive?
Yeah, I do.
Do you enjoy driving?
I'm a keen driver indeed.
You're a car guy?
I've loved cars. I'd say kind of in unison with my love for trains.
Interesting.
But cars were sort of way more accessible for me as a child, but to see a train was kind of once a day maybe, whereas
totally.
I used to stand on my parents' sort of bay window and look at the cars all day long and line my Hot Wheels cars up on the windowsill and I used to be obsessed with the exhaust pipes as well.
So you're a car guy in unison with the trains, but obviously you're known as the train spotter guy, not the car spotter guy.
Yeah. Well, I used to actually be a car spotter.
Really?
I used to run around Knightsbridge and basically anywhere with a notepad and pen. There are pictures that my parents have that they've developed with me, like looking down the road with my notepad. And I've kept all of my notepads. And each page, every line is filled with a car name.
That's amazing.
And I didn't date any of them or anything, but I took massive pleasure in just writing down what I'd seen.
Yes.
And then I never really looked back. Like, I never really sort of looked, oh, that was a really good day. I just loved going out and looking at the cars, going about, oh, there's an E55 AMG or there's a Porsche Boxster. Mm. And I just liked collecting. And I feel like it's probably in a similar way to how people like to collect Pokemon cards or
probably
stuff like that.
Except more high effort. High effort, but not if you enjoy it.
Mm, yeah, it was kind of like my sort of therapy. It was like comfort, really. Mm. But nowadays, I sometimes take train numbers because each train has a class and then its specific number.
Mm.
And of course, with train spotting, a lot of people take these numbers down in notepads and stuff. But I know that if I get involved in that side of train spotting now, it will consume every moment
of your waking day.
Because I know for a fact that once I start, I won't be able to stop. And I've already thought about it. I'm going to create an Excel document with every single class in the UK network and then every single train within each class. And then I'll try and tick off all of them.
Yeah, your poor girlfriend would never see you again. You'd be stuck. It's an obsessive thing at that point.
Mm.
You do travel by train quite a lot. I mean, I know you travelled it and you're travelling. Did you say you're travelling by train later again today?
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm on an exciting adventure with my girlfriend this weekend. We're going on a special rail tour. So it's basically a train run specifically for railway enthusiasts and people who want to take a journey sort of on some vintage carriages and behind some vintage locomotives. So we're going to go from Cheltenham Spa to Carlisle. And what it would have been was it would be a return trip. But what I've done is I've driven my car up to Carlisle, parked it there, and then I've come back down on the train. So then when we go up on the special train from Cheltenham to Carlisle, I can then get in my car and then chase it and then stop along certain locations to get videos from the exterior.
Yes.
And then I love the rush of like chasing a train while sticking to the speed limit.
yes, while sticking to the speed limit. Listen to that, folks. It's important.
And just kind of my girlfriend, Amy, is like my kind of co-driver. Like, oh, Amy, where is it? Where is it? Like, oh, it's here. And then, like, okay, we've got a bit of time. That's cool. We can relax. And we're going to do that on the way back.
Oh, but lovely.
We had a sort of a first sort of trial run of this co-driver / driver combination recently. And we were driving from Shrewsbury to Pwllheli in Wales.
Mm.
And we ended up following the wrong train.
Oh, no.
And it was a bit of a disaster.
That's an excessive waste of time, isn't it?
And what made it worse was at one point I wanted to have a moment where I was cycling alongside the train.
Yes.
And I bought this kid's bike from Halfords. And as soon as I got it out the boot, cycled 10 metres and the rear tyre burst.
Oh, no.
An explosive burst as well. So what happened was I basically wanted to go next to it along this viaduct. What happened was I ended up having to run next to it. It was going about 15 miles an hour. I was running next to it, and then there was a guy sitting on a bench, and he had his bike parked next to him. I thought, the train started to accelerate, and I thought, I'm just going to do it. And I said, excuse me, please, can I borrow your bike? And he went, no.
No. No. Not a chance.
I've tried to be as genuine and open as possible. And I said, please, I'm trying to chase the train. You can take my house keys.
Oh, wow.
And then he kind of looked. And he's like, where are you going? I was like, just up there. I'm just chasing it. And he said, don't go far. And I gave him the keys, took his bike, and then blasted after this
You
train.
Come back and he's gone with your house keys.
But
did you get it? You caught the trip?
Yeah,
you did.
And I got that moment, which made the whole day worth it.
Mm.
And I was absolutely buzzing afterwards.
Oh, that's what, otherwise that would have been 37 hours, you're never getting back.
Yeah.
Does that ever happen where like you've completely, absolutely botched it and you got nothing for it? Or you've just been stood around waiting for it, isn't like a train hasn't shown or something like that?
There's ups and downs with the railway that I don't really show on my videos.
Well, I'm sure,
honest.
Yeah.
And a lot of the time when there's like a cancellation or I've gone on a massive trip somewhere and to see a train and it's either really late or it's cancelled, you know, it is quite disappointing.
Mm.
And that's something I don't show. But it makes the moments where things go right so much better. And,
yes.
And that kind of lucky dip sort of feeling is an element of why I love it so
much. Yeah, there's a certain excitement to it.
Mm.
Like a man thinking you're trying to rob his bike. I think that's fantastic. Because, yeah, you can't really show that side of it, really. It wouldn't be extremely interesting online.
Did you catch that? A man rob his bike? Rob Bob? You get where I'm going with this.
You have made train spotting popular again, probably, for the online era you have. When did that take off? That's been fair. It's been quite recent, quite a big change for you, I'd imagine.
Mm. So I've started posting TikTok videos for, well, I started about a year and approaching a year and a half.
Mm.
So that's when I started. But I've been posting like train spotting videos on like a tiny Instagram account for a few years before then, but have been obviously into trains for since right from the start.
Yeah.
But my first TikTok videos were just me having fun and not, it wasn't really to do with trains. I was just kind of making kind of like more of a comedy video. And me and my brother love doing, we've loved doing like little comedy sketches from such a young age. Like we used to do it on these, like this old Alba camcorder and then on an iPad. And then during lockdown, we came back together and then, and then we started thinking of these ideas. And then we thought, oh yeah, maybe. Maybe I'll get TikTok, and then because I thought it'd be fun to post to an audience who I don't know, and that also made me feel a bit better about kind of being more myself in a way.
Totally.
And then we're having so much fun, it just carried on posting videos, and then my train spotting content just came in kind of naturally, and it's kind of
just exploded.
Yeah, it's just kind of carried on from then since.
Well, listen, I want to talk more about the train spotting in a second. Before we do, we're going to take a quick ad break. And when we get back, we're going to play another game.
Sure.
We're going to play a game of 20 questions. We'll explain the rules. I'm going to ask you to think of something.
Yeah.
And I'm going to try and tell you what it is within 20 questions.
Okay.
The hack being, you do not need to tell me the truth. If you want, you can lie to me.
Okay.
Makes it a bit more fun, right? And actually, Francis, with you, we're going to do this differently to how we do it with different guests we've had on, where we'll actually play like a legit game of 20 questions. Mm. We were talking before the show and we mentioned that we're playing a game of 20Q. And Francis is the first guest ever to know what the original 20Q game was with the little...
Animal. Mineral.
Yeah.
I can't remember what the other one was.
Animal, mineral, we'll look it up at the app. Yeah. Make my job a bit easier. But we will come back, we will play a game of 20 questions. So take the time to mentally prepare yourself now, Francis. Get something inside your head, and then we will go all guns blazing.
At Market District, we believe in the power of great taste, like juicy heirloom tomatoes, cheesy house-made pizza, and fresh artisan-made bread. From produce to meats to chef-made meals, discover great taste at Market District.
I'm Eliza, and I need you to listen to me. Have you ever felt so much that you don't know where to put it all? And you wonder if anyone would notice if you screamed? Because you want to. Scream for the ones they've hurt, the ones they've taken. Scream for yourself. These are my words, my story from my perspective. Because I know you'll hear other versions. Because I want you to have a chance to believe mine, or at least hear it. If you're getting this, it's already over. But if one of you listens, really listens, it won't be for nothing.
Eliza, a robot story starring Tanya Reynolds, an 8-part fiction podcast. Releasing weekly starting Monday, the 3rd of October, on all podcast platforms. A Crowd Network original.
All right, Francis, it is time for 20 questions. Are you ready for some fun?
Indeed, let's go.
Okay, so Francis, I need you to think about something, anything you like, get it locked in your head, and then say, yes, Joel, once you have something locked in your head.
Yes, Joel.
That's good. It's compliant. That's good. Okay, we'll do this the way 20Q was actually played. Mm. So I'll ask you some questions. But you do not need to tell me the truth. You can lie if you'd like.
Yeah.
Okay, the first question. Is this an animal?
No.
Is this a mineral? A mineral? A mineral?
No.
Is this a vegetable?
Kind of.
Ooh. Okay.
Well.
I feel like you're actually being honest and you're trying to help me, so thank you. I'll ask you another question. Is this solid?
Quite.
A liquid?
No.
Bearing in mind, again, you can lie or tell me the truth. Is this blue?
No.
Red?
Partially.
Is it thin?
No.
Bigger than an egg?
Smaller in some cases.
Ooh, thank you. That was good info. In some cases, I think... So I'll ask you this question. Do they come in different sizes?
Yes.
Yes. Do you know what? You're the loveliest because I think you actually have been pretty honest with me so far. You might now try and lie to put me off. I think you've been fairly honest. Okay, is this yellow?
In some areas.
That was a lie, I think.
It wasn't a lie.
Really?
No.
I think that might have been a lie too. Is it something you could eat?
If you were brave.
Oh, if you were brave. Would it break your teeth?
Probably.
Is it something you would find in the kitchen?
Depends.
Is it bigger than a car?
No.
Is it a form of transport?
No.
Is it an aeroplane?
No.
Is it?
How close are we to 20 questions?
Probably like 45. We don't talk about it. Okay, last couple of questions. And again, you can lie or tell me the truth. Is this a model of plane?
No.
Okay, I'm going to be honest. I think possibly this might, don't say anything, this might be the, it might be the plane Concorde, which was discontinued, I think. But, oh, maybe not, but I'm close. One more question. Is it a similar word?
Yeah.
Is it smaller than a strawberry?
Around the same size.
Put out your hand. Can you imagine me putting this object on your hand?
Yeah.
Close your hand around it. I don't know how close I'm going to get. I think I know what it is. Is it something like an acorn?
Very close.
Or a conker?
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, that was very close.
Because when you said Concorde, I nearly fell off my chair.
Please don't. Oh, so a conker, like where you tie the string?
Yeah,
and
yeah. And when you asked if it was yellow, I was kind of talking about the ring near the kind of the nutty bit at the top.
So you were being very honest the whole time?
Yeah, I would have found it most satisfying for the answer to be right, so I was helping.
Oh, well, thank you very much. I don't think you have it in you to be dishonest with me. You must have found two truths and a lie unbearable.
It was all right.
Well, look, Bob's your uncle. We managed to get it. That's good. Thank you for playing 20 questions, Francis. I do appreciate it.
That was really good. Well done.
Oh, thank you. You're very... I appreciate you taking part. And look at that. We can read minds. It's all very exciting.
This game of 20Q was very different to any others we've done in that the object was so random. But as I picked up on Concorde, I got such a massive reaction from Francis that I knew I was on the right lines. So it was quite an easy deduction from there. And I'm happy I got this one right. Oh, by the way, did you pick up on the Bob's Your Uncle reference? Thought you might.
I want to talk a little bit about your upcoming book. That's going to be exciting.
Yeah.
We do not have the physical copy here. Well, not in front of me right now.
No.
You actually haven't seen it yet, have you?
So I've touched it, but I haven't seen it in person because it has been like a massive passion project.
Mm.
And I'm just waiting for the right time to see it in person, fully absorb it and really understand that I've made it in a way.
Mm.
Because up to this point, it has been kind of... My energy towards it's kind of been taught like in compartments. So it's like the writing was in different segments as I was writing each day. And the cover art, like, and the collages and the fact boxes.
Yeah.
I haven't pieced it together that in my mind all of these are coming together to be a book.
Yes.
So I've touched it because I wanted to check it felt right.
Mm.
And then...
And does it feel right?
Yeah, it feels... It's the Train Spotter's notebook, and I wanted it to feel like it was like my notebook or another Train Spotter's notebook, something very personal. And that's what it—that's what the book is. Also, it's I'm kind of being totally open with how my train spotting outings are.
Yes,
the different feelings, and specifically on the feelings, I wanted to really give people an eye into how trains make me feel.
Yeah.
I tried to describe it in the most sort of accurate way possible. without saying screaming and shouting too much.
It seems like a genuine passion project. You can tell you're excited about talking. I wanted to ask you something very specific, which was about memory, because you do the train spotting, and now I know you did the vehicle spotting as well. Mm. You obviously must have a good memory to retain all these models, all these bits of info. Is that something... Well, firstly, do you think you have a good memory?
I think I have a good memory, but recently, due to things being so sort of active and intense and lots of different things popping off in different areas, I found my short-term memory to be somewhat compromised. And I think I need to work on it, because when I finished kind of doing my uni stuff, which was very like mathsy and knowledge-based, I was kind of using very particular areas of my brain. Since then, my activity's kind of shifted to more of like the creative side.
Yes.
So I want to make sure that my engineering knowledge doesn't become stagnant. So I feel like once I do that, my short-term memory will improve again.
It will come back.
Yeah.
A lot of the people I've met that have some sort of interesting career or are very busy have awful short-term memory. I'm bad as well. I forget all sorts of things. However, I do have some little psychological methods for helping to remember things.
Okay.
So I might maybe share them with you. You could use them. They might help you.
Especially
for remembering annoying little lists of things. Like if you're going out during the day and you know you have 10 things to do and you don't want to write them down, I can maybe give you some tips on that.
That would be so helpful.
Would that be helpful?
Yeah.
I believe we could do this with trains in London. There are 344 different stations. That might be, 374. Maybe you know.
I'm afraid I don't, but I imagine it's around that
figure. I think it's 344 or 374. It's something like that. I went and I picked out the 100, or the most popular, the busiest ones, and I've tried to commit them to memory. So I've put them 100. In a list, 100 of them. I did this morning because I was put to the challenge by my producers to see if I could do it.
Wow.
So I've memorized 100. I put them in a random order. I'll show you the list. I will let you see it. Tell me a number 1 to 100 and I'll tell you what's at that number.
Hello, me again. Did you happen to catch the 374 reference? Playing ahead of the game.
Number 54.
Would be London Victoria. You can go to the train stations list that I've made on my phone and look at what number would be 54. I think it is London Victoria. And if not...
Yeah,
It is London Victoria, isn't it? So would you like to know how to do that?
Yes.
That took me 10 minutes to memorize the list of 100. You could do it faster as well, but we'll not do 100. I'll teach you and the listeners how they can do this. Start with, say, 10. 10 would be pretty good, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
There's a really fun memory trick, and I've been doing this on people recently just to prove a point, which is once you memorize a list in this way, it's almost impossible to forget it, even if you try to forget it. So I have a friend who comes up to me months down the line and she'll say, what's number 6? And you can tell them what number 6 is.
Wow.
That's a fun little thing to do. Would you like to learn?
Yes, please.
So it's very simple. We'll do this together. Think of 10 random objects. 10 random objects. And we're going to put them down into the notes on my phone. You could do this on your phone. And while you do that, I'll explain roughly what we're going to do here. And they can be specific or vague. We're going to use something called mnemonics to remember the list. Now, this sounds complicated whenever you first do it, but once you've done it once, it becomes the easiest thing in the world. It's actually very amusing how easy it is to do once you've got it. And it's really fun with the fact that you can't forget it. I still have lists in my head from shows I've done years ago that you can still pretty much perfectly recall. But if you could do this for something like a shopping list, for example, say you had your usual shopping list of things, do that with it once, you'll never forget something anytime you go to a supermarket again. You've done it. Brilliant. Okay, so we have table crisp, duck, limestone, needle, thimble, toenail, earwig, apple, hat. Okay, here's how we're going to memorize these. You can remember them in any order you like. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Okay, I want you to repeat after me. 1.
1.
Bun.
Bun.
So in your head, I want you to... The number 1 rhymes with bun.
Yeah.
2.
Shoe.
Is correct. 3.
Paw. Oh, look. Oh, my God.
It's going to be tree. Three is going to be tree.
That was a misfire.
Four, it was pretty close.
So one bun, two shoe, three tree.
Four is door.
Four door.
Five is hive.
Five hive.
Six is sticks.
Six sticks.
Seven is heaven.
Seven heaven.
Eight is gate.
Eight gate.
Nine is wine.
Nine wine.
And 10 is hen.
10 hen.
And it makes it very easy to remember because they're rhyming, of course. So here's how we do this. We are going to take this list and mentally, in our head, attach your items to the rhyming items. I'll explain. So let's say number one is table. Now we know one is bun. So you would now think of the most obscure image in your head where a table and a bun are together. So perhaps you would imagine a bun with a massive table wedged inside, or maybe two tiny burger buns, but with a table on either side of it. And you, in your head, you try and see that as clearly as possible and you stick it there. And that's now there. It's hard to forget that image once you get it there, but you do it in your head, however it would work. Let's say you were trying to remember hat, which is the last one on your list. So 10 is hen. Very easy. You could just imagine a hen, but with a massive bright green hat on its head, right? Mm. Now, when someone says 10, you just think hen and you will instantly see that hat on the head. You will remember that 10 is hat.
Okay.
It would take you about 5 minutes to do the whole list and you will never, ever forget it ever again.
Wow. Okay. I see how that works.
You see how that works?
Yeah.
It sounds like a lot of work, but it's also very good for remembering things about specific people as well.
Yes. I have used this recently. If I'm trying to remember someone's name, it'll be like, Brian, they're wearing brown shoes.
Yes.
Brian's brown shoes.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would say, hi, Brian.
Yeah. And the more unusual you can make it, the better as well. Letters of names can be good as well. So for example, there's a lady that works in my office called Teresa. She was by tea. So I just imagined her when I first saw her with a kettle full of tea being poured over her head. And I'll never forget tea.
Yeah.
And that's what she's called.
Yeah.
Or another one is if you meet somebody and they have quite a common name, like say there's a girl called Emma. If you now picture someone you know called Emma, like giving them a hug or shaking hands or dancing or doing something weird, it will be hard to then get Emma disassociated in your head with that person. You can go, who is that? Oh, with Emma, and you have it. So, but yeah, this little memory trick you can now use if you should like to impress people or just impress yourself.
That's really cool. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. My gift to you. We're going to wrap up in a second. I wanted to quickly talk about your television work that's coming out very soon.
Mm.
In fact, it was announced this morning, so we're allowed to talk about it. What's the show called?
So it's Trainspotting with Frances Bourgeois.
Spot on.
With Channel 4 Digital. I'm basically taking celebrities from all different areas of the celebrity life. Football players, musicians, comedians. And I basically take them on these Trainspotting outings whilst also kind of delving into what they do as well. And I kind of have a shot at it.
Amazing.
I'm really happy with how it's all turned out because each episode has a completely different feeling. And it, I feel like it's such a showcase of how nice these people are and just how sort of friendly and amicable they are. Yes. And I think so like some of the moments that have happened, I'm just like really happy that they were caught on film.
Absolutely. Frances, thank you so much for coming on the show. I would love to try one last thing with you before we part ways, before you have to go and catch the train and scoot. I'm actually getting a train myself.
Yeah.
Getting the Gatwick Express back to the airport.
Very nice. Mm. Keep an eye out for railhead treatment trains.
Railhead treatment trains.
There'll be two locos and then in between there'll be two blue cylinders.
Okay.
And they'll be full of water that's then pressurised and sprayed at the railheads.
Ah, what's that for?
What that does is it removes this leafy residue that's basically there because leaves fall on the tracks, then the wheels run over and compress it. And it ends up being really slippy for the train. So this high-pressure water sprays away.
Isn't it funny that at some point that was a problem that needed solving? They would never have known that until it just happened.
And I think the railhead treatment trains that will be running down to Gatwick might be at the moment class 69, so 69002 and 69003.
I will let you know. I will document my journey. I'll send it to you.
Yeah.
You can keep me right. Lovely. Okay, before we finish up, I'd love to try one last little mind experiment.
Yeah.
I want you to, in your head, concentrate on a very specific, I couldn't do this with anybody else, just you, a very specific train, model of train, and to really see it as if it's between us.
Mm-hmm.
You need to take your time to focus on all the details, right? Mm-hmm. By the way, you could be as vague or as specific as you like here.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have something?
Yeah, yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
You don't need to spend more time, you have something?
Mm-hmm.
Pop straight into your head?
Yeah.
Okay. More colour and stuff you can get in your head, the better, by the way. It makes this a little bit easier for me. You have something.
Yeah.
Okay. What I want you to do is imagine that you're actually getting on the train. You sure you don't want to change your mind?
I'm sure I would like to stick with this one.
Okay. Just worth pointing that out. Imagine you're getting on the train. Question for you, have you actually been on this train before?
I have.
You have? Recently?
It was around February or March this year. But the train, so I'm thinking of a locomotive.
Okay.
So I was behind the locomotive in Mark 1 carriages.
I understand. Okay, that gives me maybe, if I'd done my research, maybe more of a hint. Just out of curiosity, it felt like a free choice as to which train you could have thought of right then, yes?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. I'm going to ask you in a second to tell me what the train was, and the more detail, the better. Just for my own head, would there be yellow involved in this train?
Yes.
Yes, okay.
Most trains in the UK have a yellow front.
Blue?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. I think I might have nailed this. That's good. I'm going to go here and show you something. So before I play this, the listeners have had a slightly different experience of the podcast possibly than you have, as in throughout all of the little mind tricks I've been telling them sort of how I'm doing it, right?
Yeah.
And you not have the advantage when this comes out. You can listen back and you can find out for yourself. But
yeah,
we've been trying to get you towards one specific thing right now.
Yeah.
Before I play this to you, the listeners already have heard this, so it's fine, but I made a voice recording before the show started, and you can see the timestamp. This is before we started the show. I'm going to hit play on this in a second. I don't want you to think I'm using some sort of cheaty mechanism here so you can see exactly which one I'm going to hit play on.
Yeah.
But what train did you think of?
I can say it now.
You can say it now.
37425 Concrete Bob, Sir Robert McAlpine.
Okay, that's very specific. What was the number?
37425.
Interesting. Listeners will be smiling right now. Do you want to hit play and you can see how close I got or whether I got bang on?
I'm Joel M, and today I'm joined by Francis Bourgeois. You may know Francis from his viral videos about train spotting. I'm probably going to go for an obvious trick here, but I want him to tell me about one specific train, and that train is the 37425 Concrete Bob. Anyway, for now, guard your minds, and welcome to Influenced.
There we go.
Wow.
Close.
That's the one.
That's the one. Thank you very much for thinking of that train. That makes me look awfully clever, so I appreciate that.
Wow. I'm very puzzled right now.
I should like to think so. It's going to be very fun for you to listen back and all the conversations we had as well earlier in the room. But listen, Francis, I know that you actually have to go and catch a train. So do I. So different trains, though.
Mm.
But I just wanted to thank you for coming on. Influence has been an absolute pleasure getting to meet you. And it's been fun to get a glimpse inside your brain as well.
Mm.
Very quickly, time to plug. They can get the book, they can pre-order that now, which yep. is the Trainspotter's notebook, and they can catch the TV show. You can plug that one more time for sure.
Trainspotting with Francis Bourgeois will be on Channel 4's YouTube and social media platforms in condensed versions, but the full versions will be on YouTube.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for coming on the show, and to my listeners, always guard your thoughts, because you never know who might be listening. Here's what's coming up next week.
I had a gig on Monday where someone like heckled me for the first time in ages with like a little bit. It wasn't like homophobic, but it wasn't great. I was like, I could have been meaner there. But even then I just like didn't. I just made a joke about myself and like left it. But then on the way home, I was texting one of my friends being like, this is all the stuff I could have said. But I didn't, because I'm the bigger person.
Yeah, you were the bigger person. Go you.
And I wasn't quick enough to think of it.
Yeah. And if you're after another podcast, then join Josie, Alicia and Yasmin, three young actresses, disruptors and best friends, as they navigate the issues that affect their lives. From hookup culture and social media to structural racism and LGBTQ plus rights. They won't shy away from diving deep into controversial topics, so catch a new episode of Dare We Say every Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Crowd Network, a place where you belong.
At Market District, we believe in the power of great taste. So here's a little taste of all the delicious possibilities. Juicy, hand-picked heirloom tomatoes. Seared certified Angus steak over aged cheddar mashed potatoes. Or how about fresh dough, stretched by hand for every house-made pizza? Is your mouth watering yet? From produce to meats to chef-made meals, Discover great taste at Market District.